Well, we kick off News Wrap this evening with our investigative journalist, Chris Stain, where she's been following a story for well over a year on a financial organization called Bankso. Chris, dramatic developments today. What happened?
Yes, Alec, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the FSCA, has provisionally withdrawn the license of Bankso. On top of that, the Financial Intelligence Center has placed a hold on 7 Bankso bank accounts. And on top of that, the National Director of Public Prosecution successfully applied for a preservation order of the funds in those bank accounts.
Sounds pretty hectic. What does Bankso say about it?
Well, Bankso says that it maintains that it vehemently denies all allegations of financial misappropriation and all the maladministration of client accounts, as well as any and all allegations in respect of deepfake advertisements and any impropriety related thereto. The company maintains that this is a misstatement of fact, which will be fully ventilated in the appropriate forums as more details are made available to them. As you will remember, Alec, Bankso came under fire for benefiting or allegedly benefiting from deepfake ads featuring Elon Musk, Johann Rupert and Nikki Oppenheimer. And then scores of investors who clicked on those ads reported losses totaling millions.
I remember correctly, there were ads of those people, which were AI generated, where they said, come and do what I did. I made all this money. And of course, as they are very wealthy individuals, many unsuspecting members of the public went along and, tried to make money and lost a lot of it. There was a advocate, Pietra van Niekerk, who was one of those victims, and you spoke to her, you interviewed her. What was her involvement in all of this?
Yes, she went on the online trading platform to invest at these promised returns of utter magnitude and lost her investment. She came forward, she was interviewed by us on BizNews, and people who watched that interview then contacted her other victims. Subsequently, investigations were launched, and that is where we are now. It's a very complicated technology issue, Alec, but according to the FSCA, it took the step to temporarily suspend Bankso's license because it is concerned that there may be a risk of harm to clients and or the general public if Bankso continues its operations as a financial services provider. And the provisional withdrawal is based on a preliminary investigation, and that has to be stressed. It is preliminary regarding the activities of Bankso and its possible association with the immediate matrix deepfake advertisements. The FCA is concerned about the apparent aggressive and pressurized sales techniques used by Bankso agents when selling financial products to clients. They're also concerned about promises of unrealistic returns and concerned about the failure to conduct the required risk and needs analysis prior to placing clients in specific financial products, and then naturally the material losses suffered by clients.
So for the moment, it's complicated. We have to wait and see what comes of the investigations. But if you've got money invested with Bankso, it's been frozen, but you can't have access to it, but by the same token, it can't disappear.
Well, no. If it's in South Africa, no. So that seems to be under control. No, but I think we should just stress that once again that this is a preliminary investigation and that these steps have been taken on the basis of preliminary findings.
Chris Stain is an investigative journalist. She's with BizNews. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com. Still to come, we find out how South Africa's mining companies are warming to Gwede Mantashe, get some good news about South African companies ending their investment strike, and hear about what it's like to be on NASDAQ for Karoo, the owners of South Africa's brand car track. But earlier today, Chris spoke to Juanita Dupria. She's activist Ian Cameron's successor at Action Society. Ian is now the chair of Parliament's Committee on Police. So it was only natural for Chris to ask Juanita how she felt that the new police minister is doing.
It is very difficult to, after 100 days, to give a symbol, but we'll give him a preliminary report because we are seeing very good things. We hear of Operation Shanela that's doing well, and people are being arrested all the time. It seems like there's a buzz, there's something going on. He's not just, I haven't seen him at one funeral, like his predecessor. Of course, he should have respect for the people who lose their lives. But that was actually almost the only thing that we saw Becky Tselli do, and then saying outrageous things. So we are very excited to see where he goes. From our connections, some people who work closely with him, they also have good things to say about him. Things that we are excited to hear about through the grapevine is that he is really taking on the senior management of police.
The Minister of Justice has had a rather dramatic first 100 days in office. How would you rate her?
Yes, we're not so excited. And the problem, what we see also on ground level, and that is where we work, cases were always on the court rolls for long times, but it seems like it is even longer now. So we're not handing out gold stars for her. And I know it is a big job, but it is why in other portfolios do we see big moves, and we see it not in an important, very important portfolio like that of justice.
Biz News Briefing, our daily audio-only show, is live streamed at 7 a.m., 7 o'clock in the morning. You'll find the link on social media, on iono.fm, and of course at the top of the biznews.com website. Join me tomorrow. It's lots of fun. This morning, my very first guest was mining entrepreneur Bernard Swanepoel, who's better known nowadays for his position as the host of the Joburg Mining Indaba. It was held earlier this month, and at it, the mining industry's heavyweights started warming to Gwedi Mantashe. Here's Bernard.
You know, the mining industry have had this interesting bromance with Minister Mantashe, almost disproportionately to the relationship with his department. It is indeed so that Gwedi Mantashe was there. I think he actually was there on the gala dinner and day one and day two. And most importantly, what we get right is that his department also attend. So we're not talking about them, we're talking to them. And that makes a significant difference. So I think at all times there would have been senior representatives of the department in the room. We also, for the first time, engaged with the DTIC, the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition, because obviously policy making is not happening in the mining department per se. It is the policy, the economic policy of the country, which has been stifling economic growth. And I think it's actually quite good that there was a generational change in some departments. I think politically we all would have wanted more change in terms of political leadership. But the environment in which we can engage with, what will it take to make South Africa a mining destination? Yes, it's the obvious things like the so-called cadastre system and better environment for exploration. But it is also about how the Competition Commission interferes in transactions way beyond the law. It's also about how the country doesn't incentivize reindustrialization that is required for the critical minerals of the future. So it's much broader conversations. Having your minister in the room is useful and good, regardless of whether you like him or don't like him.
Today's other Biz News Briefing studio guest was the inimitable Kokkie Kooyman of Denker Capital, he who knows more about the financial sector than any other person alive in South Africa. He gave us some concrete evidence that South African companies are finally ending their strike on investing in the country. This after a decade of just building cash on their balance sheets.
The recent results for the September month and quarter that were published, well, the banks submit the information to the Reserve Bank and then it gets published, shows that the corporate lending is starting to pick up, specifically interesting overdrafts. So initially corporates obviously maybe still testing the water, still actually being still uncertain and initially just using the overdraft facilities rather than in arranging longer term fixed commitments. Consumers still under pressure, we know that. And the consumer obviously will improve as now petrol prices have come down, as interest rates might come down. But in South Africa, you're quite right. The key to our growth rate is government reforms continuing and then, banks starting to participate in the lending on infrastructure. It's actually interesting, all the way back in, was it 89, eh? 89. David Shapiro and myself were still running sub-3 marathons then, where at Old Mutual, I did a huge exercise trying to work out when do banks do well? Because post P.W. Botha's Rubicon speech, capital left the country and the banks were trading at very low valuations. And all the research I did subsequently showed that your banks generally do best when a country attracts capital. And that makes so much sense because when you attract capital, there's more liquidity, you can lend more, your interest rates don't go up that much, your currency appreciates. And I think we're in that cycle now again. So if President Ramaphosa continues with what he's doing now and everybody sticks together, we are going to see capital come into the country. I hear it from our CEOs. They're seeing more and more interest of foreign investors. Capital comes in, the rand strengthens further, and then you can start lending and grow. But it's in the hands, literally, of the politicians at this stage.
We close off this episode of News Wrap with Zach Calisto. He's the chief executive of Karoo, which is best known for its ownership of CarTrack, a high-tech global vehicle tracking and fleet management operation that is very large in South Africa and is expanding into other parts of the world. Well, Karoo released its financial results earlier this week, and yesterday, Zach had the opportunity to talk to American investors. They seem to like Karoo a heck of a lot more than did the locals. Let's pick up on that interview.
Well, I certainly believe NASDAQ as a financial platform is one of the better platforms, especially if you're in the software space. And you have got a bigger audience. But having said that, I'm very mindful that the investment community in America has got a lot to choose from. So, you know, we are a small cap. We're between $1 billion and $1.5 billion in market capitalization. And I'm very mindful that where we fit in the bigger scheme of things. So we need to just focus on growing our business. And I think we're on a great financial platform for if we ever need to raise cash. But, I don't get confused.
Has it worked out the way that you thought it would?
Yes, definitely yes. You know, we've got a low liquidity, but I mean, even if you look at the amount of shares that are floating on the NASDAQ compared to the amount of shares that are floating on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, what we see in terms of shares, it's about evenly split. But, you know, the amount of volumes going through in America is over 10 times more than in Johannesburg. But I don't think we've got the benefit of being listed on NASDAQ because we haven't had to raise capital yet. And I think it's really in preparation for my successors or if we ever need to do any large merger or acquisition or if for whatever reason we need capital for growth. I think we're better positioned to be on the NASDAQ than on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It's a much bigger pool of money.
This has been your News Wrap from BizNews. Please don't forget to join me live online tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. bright and early, where we give you all the news. from the overnight markets in the United States and, of course, also in Asia. From Alec Hogg, until then, cheerio.